Thank you for being here with me and welcome back. My name is Catherine Daniels and I love to empower people with spiritual healing and wellness. The best thing about Retreat to Peace is the gift of inner peace, greater love, and joy. During these times of changes and uncertainty in our world, nothing is permanent except our souls. And that's why we need to come together as we travel through one another's countries, creating a bridge, removing all labels as we come together as one people, finding our home in one world. And that's why our signature talk today is so very important. Today, I'm very excited to welcome my guest, Jacqueline Sisson. Hi, Jacqueline.
Hello, it's so good to see you.
Thank you so much for being here. We greatly appreciate it. And if you could, for my guest, could you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you landed here in front of me?
Yes, I think I chased you down. I'm not sure. But I am a master relationship coach and also an aligned life coach. And what I do is I make the journey into your life, into your business, much more relatable than if there's blocks or whatever in your life. I utilize the mind, body, and spirit approach, which enables us to touch all of our tripartite places within us that helps us to be all that we can be.
I love that. So this is the perfect platform for you because, as we know, this is what we talk about, is this mind, body, spirit, this trinity of what we experience. And I would love to know, how did you get into this line of work?
Well, I'll have to go back a ways and tell you about my story. When I was a child, the first thing I remembered was my mother telling me the mantra that would be mine until I was 17. And it was simply, Jacqueline, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're fat, you're ugly, no one is ever going to love you, and the icing on the cake, you're never going to amount to anything. I put up with that until I was 17. At 17, I ran away. Later, I married. I had a son. And I was really at the breaking point, Catherine. I was to the point of suicide. And I had myself convinced that my son, my 3-year-old son, would be better off without me than if I were in his life because I was such a loser. And I felt the same way about my husband. So I tried to take my life and took a bunch of pills and woke up in the middle of the night very sick. And God began to speak to my heart. It was an impression, is how I want to put it. And he began to tell me I had a purpose and I had a reason. And that if I would let go of everything and trust him and learn to love myself, to love others, to forgive myself, to forgive others, that I could have this life that he's calling me to.
You're going to make me cry because that's so powerful what you just said there. And I could feel that. I could feel everything you were saying right there. And I don't think there's anyone in the audience that is listening right now that hasn't had some sort of experience of feeling like someone has judged them as dumb, stupid, fat, ugly, not amounting to, you know, anything. Or even have been told that. I mean, I, as a little girl, I was told the biggest mistake I ever made in my life was you and your brother. And that's hard to hear. And when you are a child, you do adopt these things because you don't know any different. And this is what you hear. So right now, there's probably someone listening that is thinking about their own life and may have heard some of these negative statements that were projected from parents towards them. What advice do you have to help unwind some of that thought process? Because intuitively and authentically, they know that God, the higher power, is trying to reach them, trying to reach their soul, trying to guide them out of that trap.
Mm-hmm. Well, foremost, I believe the greatest thing of all things is love. And I believe in order to love others, you first have to love yourself. And that was really hard for me because I felt there was nothing lovely about me. I felt so dirty and so bad, like I was unredeemable. The second thing, and this one is so important, learn to forgive. And I'll tell you why. Let me give you my definition of unforgiveness. It is simply drinking poison, hoping the other person will die, and they never do. Instead, it internally makes us sick and starts to kill our heart, our life. And that to me is two of the most important things, is really getting an understanding. As a mind, body, spirit coach, I use all of the tripartness of us, and I utilize it in a way that brings healing to each and every part of us. I believe if there's something you feel, you can heal. And I would like to preference, if I could, Catherine, that with the forgiveness, it never means forgetting, ever. Never means forgetting. It means loving yourself more than the anger and hurt you have against another person. So you can be whole. You can be in synchronicity with all your entities and God and your higher power, whatever you call that.
That is beautiful. And honestly, I think more people really need to hear that message. Mm-hmm. There's so many people that are walking through life and they have this replay of the script that's happening in their head, and they just get caught up in all of these messages that they hear from other people, or maybe they're bombarded by on social media or television or what have you. And it's just this bombardment that feels like they can't escape from. And what I feel like now more than ever, this is a lot of people and their experience, because we're seeing evidence more than ever of higher suicide rates, addiction, yeah. You know, there's so many things. And from someone that was at your breaking point, I mean, you talked about God coming into your life, but you did have this suicidal moment. And I wonder, did you have anyone you could go to, anybody you could talk to?
I didn't at that time. It was really only me and God, because I kept myself in such isolation. I didn't have close friends. My husband was in law enforcement, and he was all about chasing and getting the bad guys. And so, honestly, at that time, it was me and God.
And that's hard, because when you're by yourself, I've heard many people, you know, I've done so many interviews for Retreat to Peace, and I've heard so many people share stories of being on the brink of suicide. And it seems that the common denominator is isolation and people feeling isolated. They isolate away from family, away from friends. And I wonder, What if someone's listening right now and they're in that darkness, what advice do you give them?
Reach out. Trust. Grab hold of somebody that you know you can trust. Grab hold of me. I will see you through. I've been through the pain, and our pain may not be the same, but pain is pain. Hurting people hurt other people. And I decided in my life, I could not live that way. I just couldn't, because it brought such pain to me. How in God's name could I choose to live that way? I couldn't. I just couldn't.
And then you had your baby, and that's for a mother. That must have been excruciating. I can't even imagine what that felt like for you.
And I wasn't a very good mother. To be honest with you, I was detached. I had such self-hate for myself that at times I was afraid to touch him for fear it would transfer onto him. Until, may I share a secret with you?
Of course.
About this time, I decided I needed my own mantra for my life. And so what my mantra is and has been way back 50 some years ago is simply, if it concerns you, it concerns me. That saw me through some of the darkest times I ever experienced. And it doesn't mean once you're healed that everything is rosy. Life is still life. But you know what? You're worth it. You're worth it. Grab hold of your value. Grab hold of your purpose-driven life, because there's something there you're supposed to do. You're supposed to share. People are waiting to hear your story. And you can do this.
It's so true. When you were in that breaking point that you talked about, and God came to you, can you share a little bit more about what that felt like for you? Were you scared?
Well, first of all, I was hanging on the toilet, getting violently ill from all the pills I took. And in my heart, I knew this was not self-done. I knew that something bigger than me was in the making. And I wasn't scared. I wasn't scared at all. In fact, I felt such a peace. And it sounds strange. I felt such a peace and such gratitude that I was still alive. Because somewhere in the deepest, darkest part of me, I guess I believed there was hope.
Yeah. I can feel all of what you're saying. And in the darkness, you know, like when I was a little girl and 3 years old and locked in a closet, when my mother locked my brother and I in that closet, I just remember that sliver of light. But I knew intuitively, like, that light was God's source. And I knew intuitively that I need to keep my eyes towards the light. And I feel that wherever we are, whatever's going on, we can always look for the light. We can always find God's glory and grace in the smallest of things. And every single day, there are miracles that are performed right in front of our eyes. And people question whether or not it is an act of God or whether or not there it's just a coincidence. But I don't believe that there is coincidence. I believe that everything unfolds for a purpose and for a reason. And I've heard the most profound stories just sitting in the audience of a spiritual worship at an addiction clinic, where recovering addicts are talking about being brought to their knees and how God came in and touched their lives. And a lot of times when God is working into our lives in such a profound way, we think it's unexplainable, and sometimes maybe it is unexplainable, but it doesn't mean that it wasn't divinely given to you for you to experience, because it was meant for you to have that experience so that you could proceed forward on the course path that He is providing for you. And look at your life, how your life started to move forward after that experience. But that God experience also puts you in a place where you have to surrender.
Totally. You're right.
What did that feel like for you to surrender?
That was very hard because, again, I was raised, you trust no one. But there was something different about my experience that let me know this was my last great hope. And if I didn't latch on to it, I would lose the battle. And I'm a mama bear. I'm not about to lose the battle, not in any way, shape, or form. For my clients, for those who even aren't my clients yet, I'm a mama bear. You want someone on your side to set it right. I'm here.
Yeah. And being a mama bear is what you didn't have. As a little girl, you did not have that mama bear to protect you and give you that unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And that's something that all children yearn for. They all want that safety of unconditional love, that authentic, pure love. And for myself,
you're so right.
For myself, I am a case in point. Like the rest of the world, I didn't, you know, not everybody in the world, but a lot of people, you don't get what you think you're going to get. And when you look back and you look at your life, you start putting pieces together and you realize that that source of love was really from a different place. It wasn't from, like, the greatest love really doesn't come from your parents. It comes from a higher power, that God source.
Yeah. Yeah. It truly does. And it changed my life forever. And I have been a woman of faith warrior ever since, because I began to see how easy, you know, along my path, I always wondered, how could anyone do that to their family, commit suicide? And yet, I was there. I was doing it. And I felt totally justified because of the pain I was in, not wanting to put that on my family. It was a lie. It was all a lie. But I made it through, and you will too.
Yeah. I've heard that when you go to hotels, there are often Bibles in the nightstand. And the reason for that is because many times people will go to a hotel and they'll commit an act such as adultery, or they'll self-harm. They'll do these things, and in an act of desperation, because, again, intuitively, God has put us on earth to be a source of love and light to all of the people on the planet. And when we're doing this self-harm, or we're harming someone else by our actions, we intuitively, innately know that it is wrong. And the Bible sits in the drawer by the bed in the nightstand, because people will take that Bible out. And if you have ever done this or have not done this, maybe give it a try, but just open the Bible. And more often than not, wherever you open that Bible, your eye is going to be drawn to a passage which is meant for you in that moment, because mm-hmm. that's what you're supposed to see or feel or hear, or a message based on what you're going through. And yes. it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful, because a lot of times you're struggling with something and you're not really sure what to do. And all you have to do is just open the Bible and there will be some sort of answer right in front of you. But I agree. I feel that it's important to reach out for assistance and help. And if you need professional guidance, to seek that out and get that support. But I wonder, for you, as you moved on, now you said your husband was in law enforcement. And so how was that for your marriage? Like, how?
It was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious. My husband would answer the door and just look at whoever was there and go, yeah. And I said, Larry, don't do that. You're scaring off my friends. And so we had some iron sharpening iron times where I need to learn a little bit to toughen up. And he needed to learn a little bit to realize people in the world can be a good thing, not a bad thing. So it was really, as I look back on it, it was hilarious. We couldn't have been more different. I mean, in the world, worlds apart. And yet today, 53 years later, our lives have never been better.
That's amazing. Very beautiful. A lot of people don't stay married that long because they give up. And it's really incredible that both of you have persevered and went through those tough times together. And I find that in the world that we're living in right now, a lot of women are just in this place where they have to be in strong masculine energy. And that's the messaging that they're getting, you know, from social media, from the world. I want to tap into your mind a little bit about what your thoughts are around that. I have my own personal thoughts I'll share, but I'd like to hear what you have to say as well.
Well, I have a thought of just about everything you can imagine. To me, if you're in your strong masculine energy and you're married, you have a spouse, a partner, where's the wife going to come in at? Where's the female going to come in at? The truth of the matter is that masculine energy, it can be a blend to us, actually. But that total masculine energy, when I have found women or men, either or, that's into that, the same with a man in total feminine energy, it's so imbalanced that they are not happy in their life. They are usually angry, feel victim, or whatever, but it's not a healthy situation. In fact, it's very unhealthy.
Well, and a lot of times that comes from just a survival space, because
you're right.
That's all they know, especially if there's been trauma associated. It is this core survival instinct where if I'm not strong, if I'm not doing yeah. things in a forceful way, then I'm not going to survive. So it's hard. It's hard to, you know, I think it's hard for people to remove that masculine part of themselves and let their guard down and free themselves up to be a little bit more, how should I put it? I guess like vulnerable is a good word, I think.
And that's really challenging today, to be vulnerable. But I'll be honest with you, there was a time where I struggled with that. I'll take care of it. I'll do it. I'll take care of me. You don't have to take care of me. You know, and it was with such anger and such determination that it really, I was making life harder for myself, and I didn't even see it.
Yeah. For the people that are in this masculine energy right now, to some degree, I feel that this is part of the space that we're living in with the world and what's happening as things are unfolding, because there is a fear space that is surfacing. And when we are in fear, we have a fear response. So that could be fight, flight, or freeze. And, you know, people that are freezing, they're going into a dark space because they're reliving the past and they want things to be like they used to be. And that's not reality. And the people that are fighting back are, you know, in this strong masculine space. And I don't believe that all of this is, you know, anyone's fault in particular. It's just a fear response. But I think it's important to recognize the body response and what it is you're feeling and recognizing the source of it. So are you feeling a certain way because you just watched the news and you heard something that made you deeply uncomfortable and possibly distressed for your own personal safety?
Yeah.
Or are you just operating out of this space because that's what you've gotten used to? And to your point, it does create unhealthy relationships. So to get into a healthier space, I mean, would you agree it's important to recognize, like, take a moment and pause and recognize, where is this coming from?
Exactly. Sometimes we will know, other times we won't. All the unspoken messages throughout our life are trying to influence us for good, towards love, towards support, towards patience, or bad. Fear, you know, anger, all the dark things. And the truth of the matter is, the switch does not need to be that difficult. I have had clients make differences in their life, life-changing differences, in as few as 3 sessions. Because once they see it, they're on it.
Right. Well, it's kind of like what you were saying. When you had this moment where you decided you were going to choose to be in self-love and you had this new mantra for yourself,
right?
It changed everything for you. So I could understand how for your clients, if they are in the self-awareness, that does trip up the old script and allow them to go in a different direction. But I think too that when we get into that space of fear, again, we can always go back to our source self. So where did we come from? And really, I mean, we come through our parents to be here. But for a lot of people, it takes a long time for them to get to a place where they recognize that they have this relationship with their higher power. And for a lot of people, they suppress that. They push that down and push it down and push it down.
Yeah.
And they don't give themselves the opportunity to explore it and build that relationship because they're afraid or they're doubting. There's a variety of reasons. It could be the script that they were told. But the grace and the beautiful blessing in allowing yourself to explore that space is that the fear goes away. Because once you have that relationship, you don't have that fear anymore. And when I go out in my day-to-day walk, I don't have any fear. I know that there's a lot of things happening around me, but I literally feel like I'm in a suit of armor with protection, and I don't have that fear because I know where I'm going after this. I, you know, this is just this is just where I am at the moment, but your soul, absolutely. Your soul yeah. self, that energy, that never dies. That never dies. So like there's that right. part of you that will never die. And where is it you're going to go? So I think it's important right now for people to really, if you're a fence sitter, get off the fence, you know, because you do have a choice. It's either you're going towards the darkness or you're going towards the light. And you have to ask yourself, you know, ask these questions, like what is it that I'm doing in my day to day? And yeah. how am I guiding my soul self? Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
I was just going to say, you're absolutely right. Catherine, you are a very wise woman. I do agree. And it's the yin and the yang, the good and evil. You know, I could have chose a lot of things for my mantra. But when I chose the mantra I chose, it almost instantaneously changed my life because I began to see way bigger than I ever saw before. And I began to see, even in my little children, when they fall, that's the biggest thing that's ever happened to them in their world that day, that moment. And they need a mama and a daddy who's going to kneel down by them and say, it's okay. It's okay. I'm so sorry. We're going to fix your boo-boo and you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, that's really, really nice.
I believe in you.
Yeah, that's really, really nice, especially for people that didn't have that growing up, you know, just yeah. knowing that there is this possibility for someone who is
yeah.
going through life and doesn't really have that relationship with God or their higher power, you know, just knowing there's that possibility of that unconditional love, and there's earth angels all around that are willing to help you, and using your discernment to know what intuitively in your soul feels right. Like in our, as a human being, intuitively in our soul, we are able to use our navigation and know if the energy that we're feeling on the other side is repelling energy or if it's guiding us into a loving space. And I feel a lot of people shut that part of themselves down because they're afraid of it. But if you allowed yourself to open that up, open up your heart, and really feel with your energetic soul self, you'll allow that guidance to come through and guide you towards the people that are your quote unquote soul tribe, as people like to say. But those are your people. They are. Those are your people yeah. because those are the people that are going to love you unconditionally, give you the support that you need, and give you the guidance that you need. And you'll be surprised because not every one of those people are going to look like you think. Like in yeah. your mind, you might think, well, this is what these people will look like. But more often than not, they're not at all right. like you would have picked out.
You're right. You are so right. You have a way of simplifying things that all of us can understand. I don't like complications. And you just have a way about simplifying what seems like the impossible to making it see and feel, I can do this. I can do this.
Yeah. I also believe that everyone, as they find their life purpose, for some people that is hard because they have a lot of blocks and they run from themselves. And right. on this show, we've talked a lot about that, especially during 2020, because people were so busy running to their jobs or running into vices right. to block their thoughts or distract themselves from dealing with whatever it was that was darkness for them, instead of addressing it and using it as a healing time. And really that's part of why Retreat to Peace started, because it needed to be a healing platform for the world where people can, you know, shake up a little bit and understand, I don't have to operate like that. Like, I can see it through a different lens and have a different experience. The idea of finding your soul self and exploring that, I think, does come back to just getting centered and grounded with your relationship with your higher power. Because again, you'll be guided and learning what it is that maybe you weren't seeing before because you had blinders on. It's kind of like it says, you know, in the Bible, like, I was blind and now I see. There's a lot of truth in that. There is a lot of truth in that. And for you, when you created your mantra, you basically said the same thing. You saw the world through a different lens.
I did.
And that lens, anybody can have that shift.
Yes.
But I feel like it has to be coming from a space that is very authentic to yourself. And for you, your mantra, if I had this correct, if it concerns you, it concerns me, was your mantra. Is that right?
Yes. It still is to this day.
Yeah. So it's profound to me that you work with helping people.
Yeah.
Because that's your life path. Like, that's what was chosen for you. And that is so beautiful. And anyone listening to you can hear your heart and feel your energy. And it's very beautiful and so soothing. And just so, it's like a safe space. And you can just feel that what you're saying is pure. And I say that with all, you know, love, because it is. It's you can feel that radiating from you. So it is really beautiful. Not everybody can use your mantra, though, because for some people, it could hurt them. Could hurt them. So for some people, I think it's also important to understand that you have to find your mantra that works for you, that's going to guide you appropriately in the right direction.
That's correct. That is correct.
Do you have any thoughts around how someone could find a mantra that might work for them?
Absolutely. Number one, I have a 5-point system that I can't go into all right now, but it's in dealing with the mind, the body, and the spirit. Those three, once they become one, which is, it all encompasses who I am, who I've been my entire life, although I reacted differently to some circumstances. But if you're looking for a mantra, all you have to do is ask. And I promise you, you will get one. When you ask and you're full of love and you've forgiven yourself and forgiving others, when you hit that point, that is when my mantra appeared to me. It wasn't before. You know, it's kind of like, our lives are kind of like baby steps. We take a little step and then a little step more. And, you know, I see my life the same now today as back then when I started learning about love and forgiveness. You know, every day I wake up, I check in with myself. How are you doing? How are you feeling? You know, kind of thing. And when you do that, that connection grows. I do my gratitudes upon waking up. I have my time with my higher power, with my God. You know, I have the daily tasks that I do to open my heart and my life up for whatever the day entails. And trust me, there are some interesting days in my life at 72 years young. There are some real interesting days. But I invite you, those that can hear my voice, choose you today. Choose to find a mentor today. I know it's what Catherine does. I know she probably has a whole team of mentors under her or beside her that can give you the help. But there's help out there. Never give up. Always look for the good. It's there if we look at it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I was saying earlier, is God's grace and the miracles that appear on a daily basis are so abundant. And yeah. I think about, you know, we think about ourselves in the world, but when we are in our day to day, for example, if you have a bird feeder and you're feeding the birds, those families, generations and families of birds are in your yard, and they know when you're coming outside, they know your routine, you know, you're part of their world. Like, it's a very interesting dynamic, because it's not just us. It's, you know, everything in choreograph, and it's absolutely beautiful if you really look at the whole picture, not just like the micro piece of it, which is yourself. Look at the whole picture.
Yeah. You know, I love that. And one of the things my husband and I delight in doing every day is we have a huge back veranda. And what we do is every morning we feed the squirrels. Well, actually, my husband kind of does. And it's so hilarious. If we forget, we'll look outside at that double paned glass, and there will be the little squirrels lined up looking at us. And they'll come over to the window and look, and then they'll start climbing our screens. And that's when we know for sure we better feed them quickly. And they wait. They actually, several of them, not all of them, but several, when we take out the food and feed them, they will wait. So they can be first dibs on that food. And it's so adorable. But, you know, God created the creatures too, and we can kind of be their guardian angel. We can be what they need in their life to survive and thrive. You brought that up, and I had to share that.
I love that. I do love that. My squirrels in my backyard, I must say, they get upside down on the bird feeder. So their back end is like, it's pointed towards the top of the tree. And then they're, you know, pulling out all the bird seed. And for the life of me, I always think, can't you just leave that alone for the birds? I really need to do a better job trying to find a way to feed these squirrels so they'll leave the birds alone.
That is hilarious.
I don't know what you're feeding your squirrels over there, but I might have to take some advice.
I can help you out.
And then I've seen recently where people have these little picnic tables, and they'll put a piece of like dried corn on the cob on the picnic tables, and they'll take pictures of the squirrels eating the corn on the cob at the picnic table.
Yeah.
It's so cute. But yes, yeah, so we're so much part of the bigger space, and it's really powerful, because we have to really think about, you know, collectively as a whole global world, how all of us together, we really have to band together, help each other get through this darkness. And the darkness is there. I mean, anybody that disputes that, I would have a hard time understanding how you dispute it, because it is abundant in everything. We see it on social media. We see it on television. We may or may not hear, things on the news, which to me is also, you know, not very honest all the time. But there's a lot we need to do to really help one another in the human race and really help each other to build each other up and elevate each other and get everyone we know in a space of love and light and really try to help people understand that they have a choice, because moment to moment, you're making a choice. Every single minute, you're making a choice. And it's which way do you choose to go? Are you choosing to put a bunch of junk in your body that's going to create disease and hurt you? Or are you choosing to feed your body good food, God-given food that's going to nourish you and take care of you? So I think it's really important for everyone to be mindful of where you're sitting and the decisions you're making. And maybe this moment right now, you can make a decision to change something that maybe you weren't doing, right? If there's something that you know right now that's coming to you that I should probably change this, then make that decision and do it right now. And if you need the support, go find the support, because there's a lot of resources and a lot of support out there.
Yes.
So I think there's so much. Yes.
Could I ask you, repeat that again, how people have a choice, because sometimes they don't believe it, but reiterate that to them. I think God is giving someone a message right now that you do have a choice. Say that again.
Yes, and absolutely. Every single moment we have a choice.
Yeah.
And I think about this for me in my life. It really started when I was 3 years old in that closet. And intuitively, I knew that the light under the door was a light source of God. And
incredible.
It would either be life or death for me. And I had no control over that. I was three, too little to reach up to turn the doorknob. Yeah. And there was nothing I could have done. But intuitively, as humans, we have this moral compass. We have this compass within our soul and within our soul space that we can guide ourselves to what we know we need to do. And often it's just making a decision. And sometimes it's just a moment to moment decision. I remember there's so many examples I could give, but I remember so many times where I was in a moment where I had to make a choice and it was uncomfortable. And sometimes we choose to make decisions that are based on our comfort level. We'll choose to navigate and default into something that we've always done out of comfort instead of doing something uncomfortable. And the reason I bring this up is because many times, especially when we think of bad behavior, that becomes a default and it's hard to go a different direction because maybe that's the only thing you ever knew.
Yep.
And it's scary to make a change. But yes. I remember as a child that what I grew up with, I was not going to recreate. I was going to take an opposite approach because I didn't want to relive that over and over. And I think sometimes it is getting to your core self and asking yourself, what is it that I'm running from? Why do I keep defaulting into this behavior? Why am I not making a different choice? Is it fear-based? Is it, you know, there's so many different reasons. So just diving into that, but for whoever needs to hear this right now, if there's something you're doing that is self-harm or hurting yourself or hurting your relationships or hurting people around you,
you're right.
Take a moment and think on how you can make a different decision and change in this moment. And
yes,
exactly what you were saying, Jacqueline, is that you chose love. You chose to come from a space of love. That was a moment in time that you made a decision. Yeah. And it profoundly changed the course of your life.
It did. It did.
So somebody right now needs to make that decision to make that change. And here's a little secret for you. So one thing that I did for myself, and I was probably like 13 when some of my self-awareness was starting to really come to me as far as the script or dialogue in my head that was a false narrative. And I made myself, I was 13, so I made myself, I braided myself a little bracelet out of rope. And I put it on my wrist, and nobody knew what it was about. But what it was for me was a reminder. So maybe you need to do something for yourself that'll be a reminder.
Yeah.
And that can look a variety of ways. But that was my little gift to myself to help change my course. And what did you do? Did you do anything like that to help you remind yourself?
No, I didn't think about a rope or a bracelet or anything. All I thought about was the difference those few minutes choosing life versus death made a difference in myself and made a difference in my life. And that was like enough for me. And I always clung to that light, like you said, that light that's within us, that's in nature, that's all around us. And so that was kind of my little thing.
Yeah, looking for the light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which you did. Interesting.
Yes. Yes. When we're born, we come into the light.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
It is beautiful because it does give you a different perspective when you think about it like that. It's like every day you're opening your eyes and you're being reborn every single day.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Is there anything that you'd like to share that maybe we haven't talked about?
Well, there's several things. Number one, I want to give your audience a gift. And if they will email me, I want to gift them with a very powerful prompted journal. All you have to do is email me at allthat772@aol.com and just put in the subject free journal. And I'm inclined to do something else, if I may. And I've never done this, speaking like this before, but I know I'm supposed to. The first three people that email me may have, and if they ask for it, put in the subject line, free session. I want to give away three different sessions to three different individuals in any way that I can help you. I would like to spend that time with you.
Very nice.
Is that okay?
Thank you. So I do have one final question.
Oh, good.
If I were to pick up your earth angel feather off of the ground, what would your message to the world be?
It would be believe. 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 All things are possible. Just believe. It may look too hard, It definitely looked too hard for me way back when. Believe.
Jacqueline, thank you so much for being here and being present during this time with me and sharing space. You're a beautiful, beautiful soul and human and filled with love and light, and it just radiates from you. So I'm so grateful and blessed that you could share your time with us today. And thank you. And for my audience, as always, this is Catherine Daniels with Retreat to Peace, reminding you to live your authentic life with peace. And as always, retreat to peace, and we'll see you next time.
Oh.